I did wear the pants again today. I'm not going to sit like you guys saw me sit last week. Well, like partially this? The reason behind that was because I had to piss. And in order for me to not have to get up from my chair and go piss, I had to sit like that.
Totally okay for you to be like, can we pause quick so I can go take a pee?
Nope. We were rolling, Tyler. So we're just going to keep rolling with it. And I can wait till the break.
Do you remember some of the Patreon episodes that would just go on and on and on? And we literally had to be like, can we stop so we can go pee?
Yeah, I've taken one piss break in all of my podcast history. Yeah, it was
all of us, the same episode. We're like, oh God, thank God you said something. I had to too.
Yeah, it's like having to raise your hand in the middle of class to see if you can go piss. Yeah. Like elementary school.
Yeah, just go in your pants. They'll never ignore your hand going up again.
No.
They pipe that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
Tyler, it's a big week this week.
Yeah, it's episode one. Name a fucking athlete.
Kobe Bryant.
1KG.
Ken Griffey Jr., dude.
No, 1KB. One Kobe. It's one Kobe.
Come on, man.
124 today. We're getting a lot of episodes deep, but okay, we're gonna talk about all kinds of stuff today. Last week, obviously, we'll do a quick recap of the waste management, and then this week is also a massive week, Tyler. Three things on the docket for this week.
Yes,
we have semifinals of Sim League, Tyler's team against my team. Mm-hmm. We have full swing doc.
Yes, we were recording this in the past, so we have not seen the episode. But as you are listening right now on Wednesday, the 15th of February, the year of our Lord, 2023, it is live for you to watch.
If you're listening to this early enough, might be a good time to call in sick.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good time to relive the middle school, high school days 2 hours late.
Yep.
Bad weather tomorrow.
Really?
So the kids may be 2 hours late. Tomorrow, perfect opportunity to go watch Full Swing on Netflix. And then lastly, what was the fucking third thing I was going to talk about?
Oh, we have a guest for next week. We got to get our Q&As in.
Oh, we got Q&A next week. But Tyler, this could be the week that we get the new sticks in.
Oh, yeah.
So
any day now, guys.
We'll dive into all things this week. But first, let's backtrack to next week, Tyler. Waste Management Open. A lot of FOMO going on in this office.
Mm-hmm. Big time FOMO. It's the first tournament of the entire season that I've at least watched every day. Like, I didn't watch the whole thing every day, obviously, but I watched every day.
Were you single dadding it this last week?
I was for a little bit. Actually, I was going to single dad all weekend long, but then Becca had some plans canceled. So I did have some support Saturday night.
Okay. I was single dadding it Friday through Sunday.
Yep.
And I mean, what better thing to do with your 7-month-old than just watch the Waste Management Open all of Saturday and all of Sunday?
Yep. The Sunday. Actually, I thought it was kind of lame. They did it Super Bowl weekend. It was perfect.
It was the best.
You just watched it all the way up until the pregame of the Super Bowl started. It could not have been better timing.
It ended like literally perfectly. I was like checking out my phone, saw Shuffler won, and instantly I was started watching the football game.
So. Yep. Yeah. I didn't watch a single pregame of the Super Bowl because I was so dialed in on Sunday Waste Management.
Well, like, yeah, Scheffler's doing his interview. Interview ends. You turn over to whatever the station the Super Bowl was on, and they're literally singing America the Beautiful right before the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the exact timeline that I remember.
Yeah.
It was. So I was about 2% invested in on the Super Bowl Sunday before the Waste Management had ended. I could not have gave a shit less about watching pregame, the Puppy Bowl, all that kind of stuff. I was so dialed in on Sunday because I'm like, not only on Saturday did we have a battle for number one pound for pound fighter in the UFC, Islam Makhachev against Alexander Volkanovski, but we had a battle for number one world golf ranking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was Scottie Scheffler against John Rahm. John Rahm was like 5 strokes back, I think, in the end, 4 or 5 strokes back. And then we got a guy who's like ranked 200 some or 100 some in the world golf rankings.
Yes, sir.
Nick Taylor.
God. I was rooting for Nick pretty hard.
I was too, man, because, well, first off, he got a hell of a payday, 2 point some million.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to like to beat the number one golfer in the world, mm-hmm. it just shows you like on any given day, you can have your stuff and you can put up really, really good scores.
I was also rooting for him, and I didn't even go to the PGA Tour Canada, but he probably went through it. He's a Canadian.
Probably.
So friends of the podcast, PGA Tour Canada.
He's basically, he's, is that our new favorite golfer?
Maybe.
Bernd Weisberger is off. He's off.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be more over Bernd. You missed those. Do you miss the Bernd era?
No, Bernd Weisberger. Yeah, no. he's Austrian.
Yep.
Austrian. Okay. What I did notice about this year's waste management, though, Tyler, is so we were there last year, and I don't know if it's because we were there that we just didn't notice as much of
the debauchery
going on. And because this year we weren't there, we were more tuned into social media and like the golf meme pages and what mm-hmm. was going on. But I mean, the amount of shit that went down mm-hmm. at Waste Management this year, I feel like was unmatched by any other year.
It's like last year there was more crazy stuff in the actual golf.
Mm-hmm.
This year the golf was pretty straightforward, nothing too wild, mm-hmm. but the fans were off their fucking rockers this year.
Oh my God.
The first one, obviously,
19
hole. Yeah. The streaker on 16. Now, guy jumped, he must have, I didn't see the beginning of it, but guy must have jumped the fence,
yep.
or jumped the stands, ran on a 16, did a little pole dance on the flag,
mm-hmm.
Got over to 17, belly flopped in the water, and then, so 17 water must connect to 18.
Must, he must have swam over to 18.
Okay. My question is how, like, to get from 16 to 17, I think you have to go through a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
How is he getting through that tunnel? And nobody's stopping
him. I don't know either. That's what I thought as well.
Okay, but most of the security guards are like bigger people, and this dude looked pretty athletic and can run. So dude, nobody's catching me if I go streak out there.
My grandpa, I hung out with him for the Super Bowl, and he comes, do you see that naked chick running around the Waste Management Open?
Naked chick?
Oh, like, he's a long hair. He's long hair.
I was a dude. Oh, and he's like, I don't think so. Yeah, I promise.
He had a banana hammock on. So yep, he was. I mean, I feel like there had to have been some kids in that stadium, and he would have gotten a lot worse of charges.
Oh, yeah.
Fully naked.
Mm-hmm.
But it just blows my mind that they know that shit like that is a potential at a tournament like Waste mm-hmm. Management. How is he getting through that tunnel? And how is he getting through the tee box of 17 all the way down the fairway into the water without getting caught?
So if he makes it to the tunnel, I totally get it, because that's right where I was doing the man on the street interviews last year.
Okay.
You get through the tunnel, huge crowd of people, and then they have the roped off area for you to get to 17. So if he busts through there, it totally makes sense that he got to 17 to 18. But the tunnel doesn't make sense.
No.
Unless this guy runs like a 4.440. I mean, he did stutter step and break the fucking ankles of one of the security guards.
That was unbelievable.
Just ta-ta-ta.
How long,
right so around him.
How long do you think you could be streaking and not get caught for? Like, how long would you last out there?
And
college Tyler, longer than that guy. This Tyler, I'd probably give up about 5 minutes in.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to get arrested anyway. I'm tired. Take me.
Well, then what if you just would have sat on the, like, the WM logo that's planted in the water? Mm-hmm. What if you would have just sat there for like an hour? Had a couple shooters in his banana hammock.
They would have had to go out. Get him, right?
How would they
surround him and just wait for him to move. Because I mean, sit there all day.
Well, and the police officers aren't. I mean, they got but all they kinds of gear on. Yeah. They're not.
But
gonna,
play can't resume until he's off that W.
Why?
Because like, it's a huge liability for the entire tournament.
Guy gets knocked in the head.
Yeah, he can sue them even though he was the streaker.
What if it got to a point where, like, you know, John Rahm's infamous for the Augusta hole in one in the practice or the par three, whatever.
Yeah,
skipping it off the water. What if mm-hmm. like, all right, boys, play suspended, but we got a mock tee box set up right next to the water. Grab a sleeve of balls, get a tee, and let's fucking go.
This is the ball picker scenario, except streaker edition.
Yeah, it's a golf edition of dodgeball, essentially. Whoever can hit this guy first, we'll give you $1 million to donate to any charity of your choice just to get this one. Well, okay. That's that one. And then the guy gets knocked in the head. He falls in the water.
He drowns. Yeah, big thing. Waste Management's canceled.
Yeah. So that was a great way to start off the weekend because that was Friday, I believe.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And then I just saw a video this morning. You showed it to me.
One of our listeners sent me a reel of some lady on 16, well endowed is what we'll say, just letting them hang out on 16 and shaking them for whoever was putting. I don't know if it was a distraction tactic or a I appreciate you tactic, but it's a wild hole. I don't know how people are just getting away. It's like Happy Gilmore in real life.
So does she get in trouble for public indecency or like how does that? I don't know how that works.
Any other tournament, probably. There, she probably got fine. Threw her a beer.
This is just it's different. It's different there. So we got the gal flashing whoever's putting on 16. We had well, the biggest thing is like the grandstands, the crowd. They'll try and get people in the suites, the rich people. They'll try and get the rich people to do shit by chanting, whether it's chugging a beer or like saw the video of guy motorboating his wife. Random girl. Who knows what it was. That was electric because if you can get the crowd going like that, you're a legend, right? And then you got Ricky Fowler. I believe he was putting for birdie on 16. I don't know what day it was, but everyone started chanting Big Dick Rick.
I love that. And then he had a hole in one on Sunday. That's the first hole in one I've ever watched live.
I unfortunately missed it. Mm. And it was on number 7.
Yep, number 7. And it was just another day in the office for him.
He was so casual when he made it. He goes, yeah, whatever. What?
Light fist bump to his caddy. Even the announcer's like, and that is an ace for Ricky Fowler. Got to be excited about that. And then on to the next fucking golfer.
They got to get some, for that tournament specifically, they got to get like...
Who are the guys that...
I don't know. Somebody in the booth that's going to get people riled up, especially at home.
Who hosts that really shitty mini golf TV show, Holy Moly?
Riggle and Steph Curry and
they
should get them commentate the waste management.
It's like Steph Curry's like founded it or something like that. So
I mean, Rob Riggle in the booth would be electric in that hole in one. But somebody to just get the energy at home going.
Get Riggle and Romo in there. Romo, he's a good golfer.
Very good golfer. And I mean, he's from what I think, he's pretty damn good in the booth.
I agree. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, very eventful weekend at the waste management. The FOMO in this office was very high because, you know, you put yourself in that situation. It's like, dude, we could be on 17 right now. We could be on 18. And I did tell myself, Tyler, now, whether you're in or out, the next time that I am there, it's probably going to be with you. I'm going to do a 3 or 4 a.m. morning at waste management to get to 16.
I'll do it with you, but only one day.
Oh no, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm not doing back to back days unless you know there'd have to be other substances involved, and I'm just not doing 2 days. So one day would be very worth it.
And so here's the question: what day do you do it on? Is it the first day to get it out of the way? Is it the last day so you're not dead tired from doing it the first day?
No, Saturday.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
and then not the first day, but then everybody stays up late Friday night. You go to bed early.
But if you go Thursday or Friday, there's a better chance of a hole in one because the cut hasn't happened yet. There's more people hitting shots at it.
Well, and also it's like, when is the least busy time of waste management? You could argue Thursday, Friday because it's during the week.
Yep.
But also it's everyone's so hyped up because the first 2 days. On the other side of it, Saturday, Sunday, people are heading out, but also the locals are off of work for the week, and Saturday, Sunday is their day.
Yeah. Saturday for sure is the most busy.
I would agree. Did we go Saturday? Yeah, we went Saturday.
We went Friday, Saturday.
So I don't know. We might have to map it out. I did read an article saying the first guy at the gate was there at 1:30 a.m.
Fuck that. What? That's so unnecessary. We're not doing that.
We're not doing 1:30, but we might do 3 to 4 a.m.
I'll do 4.
And there's 4 a.m. like
fours, I saw.
Like you got to remember,
bow hunting, Tyler, in the late fall winter time. Like we're probably getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I'm saying like we got to remember we're faster than these people.
Correct.
We do it at 1:30. We're getting to the stands before him.
There'd be nothing like what an accomplishment in life to be the first person through the gate on 16.
It's like, what do you do?
Well, also, I mean, the night before, we're going to have like a round table discussion. We have to have a blueprint of the entire course. We got to figure out, like, are there any shortcuts we can take? We got to figure out, like, once you get through the gate, you go on left, you go on right, where we want
to
sit.
Yeah, because, like, how do you get to the hole from the, like, gates?
I don't know.
Yeah, we do.
I saw... Wait, you do?
Well, not off the top of my head. Okay, yeah, we've been there twice, but not at the top of my head.
I got it locked in. It's like, you know, when we talked about remembering a course, I know exactly how to get there.
Okay, perfect.
Then he's leading the way.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
There's two different routes. It's depending if you want to go through 10, along 10, or you want to go on the north side of 10.
Okay. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, what's the elevation from each side?
So there's general admission entrances on each side of 16.
Okay.
So if you want to get to 16 first, you go on the close side. But if you want to go to 16 and get great seats, you go on the far side. And if you want to go on the far side, you would take the north side of hole 10.
Okay.
So north side.
Okay. North side.
Yep.
North side, strong side.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's one goal for us next year is to be 1 and 2. You know what I'll do? I'll wear one of those kitty backpacks, like the bears or the monkeys on my back with the string on it, and I'll like pull you so that you can go faster.
Okay. Well, you won't know where to go. I'll mush you like a sled dog.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. You have like a whip in your backhand. You like hit me on the right side. It's like, hey, we got to head right here.
I went to sled dog races once. The problem with 16, though, the general admission, there's a huge line, right? And there's a dude like a bouncer at the top of the stairs. You get up to go to the bathroom. One person leaves. One person enters. So if you got a piss, you lose your spot.
So what? Okay, what's the play there? I've never put myself in a scenario of like, all right, well, I'm going to be drinking a lot, but I can't
Gatorade
be up
bottles.
To go to piss. Really?
Gatorade bottles.
You're just going to pee right there in the stands?
Yep. It's waste management 16. No one will notice. There's dudes streaking and ladies with their cans hanging out and guys motorboating their wives. They're not going to notice me sneakily peeing in my Gatorade bottle.
So it's not like you'd have to leave the stadium to go to the bathroom. There's not bathrooms there.
I couldn't tell you. I've never been in there. But I know that if you leave the bowl,
yeah,
they send someone in.
So that, I mean, we got some recon to do before next year. But yeah, we'll get it done. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, we know people that have been on 16. They'll tell us.
Yeah, we know people.
Yeah.
We'll get the details of it.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll be there next year, Tyler.
God.
Fast forward into this week, though. Full Swing documentary. Have you been seeing, the short snippets of it?
So I am a big, you know this about me, media purist.
Okay.
I will watch. I sometimes just even try to avoid all trailers.
Okay.
I haven't watched any trailers since the first one because I want everything to be fresh and new, and I want the twists and turns to hit me live.
I feel that, and I think I've maybe ruined a little bit of that for myself. Dustin Johnson just posted a snippet of it, like as his promo of the doc, and Ian Poulter plays a big role in this documentary. I want to
really
say. Yeah.
Former producer Matt Doppelganger.
Yeah. Because I think Ian Poulter, I mean, he was one of the first guys to defect over to LIV. He's got a strong, big personality. He's kind of like, I don't really give a fuck. This is what I'm going to do. And the DJ promo I saw on his Instagram, it shows me that Ian Poulter plays a pretty big role in this documentary.
Sick.
And I could be wrong. I mean, I watched a 1 minute clip. But
that could be the only minute Poulter's in it.
Probably, yeah.
It could be. It's like, wow, massive role in this new documentary. 1 minute's done, and he's just you never hear from him again.
Yeah, I could not be more excited for it. I'm very, very intrigued. There's so much good television right now.
Well, because the last time we've had a good golf documentary was Tiger.
Yep.
And then before that, have we had anything?
No.
Is there a John Daly 30 for 30? There is. I haven't seen it.
If there is, I got to watch that too. I've seen The Shark 30 for 30 on Greg Norman. That's
still
really
haven't
good.
Watched that. I should watch that.
You got to watch
Big
that.
Big fan of his clothes. So,
yep. So we haven't had anything like this in probably
2 years.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah. Last time we did it, we were in our old studio.
Jesus.
That was one of our first, in our first 20 episodes, we covered the Tiger Doc.
Thank God, because we started this in October of 2020. And we had fucking nothing to talk about.
Nothing.
So thank you, Tiger, for that. And I'm excited for the full swing, Doc. I'm going to just like plant my ass probably in my basement, which I visit like once a quarter. But it's comfy. And I got a nice TV down there. So I'll plant my ass there and I'll watch the full thing front to back. And I'll have a whole different review than you do because you're journalist. You're the journalistic type. Mm-hmm. You'll recognize how well it was written. I won't. I'll just be all in on the fucking live PGA drama and what my conclusion is with that.
They've already done a better job than the Tiger doc on getting both sides by just having live and PGA golfers in it. Because if it was just a PGA doc, they would have just shit on the live the whole fucking time.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't really know what to expect. I can expect that I think we'll all be pretty amazed by it.
I hope.
Because it's a Netflix original, right?
Yep.
And Netflix originals, in my mind, are usually pretty well produced.
Especially, like, you can tell which ones they throw money at, and they threw money at this.
Yeah. You have to, man.
Yeah.
In other news this week, the sticks may be coming in.
Yep. Any minute now.
We have no... There's no release right now yet.
We know the clubs have been reviewed and are probably at this moment built.
Yes. So we got our fitting last Wednesday. So we haven't even talked about the fitting.
Oh, yeah.
Yet.
Nope.
I'll tell you what, Tyler. Fittings are one of the funnest things to do in the world of golf.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of sad because really you should only be doing them like once every 4 or 5 years, or maybe if you make a major swing change, you do it, you know, once every 2-3 years. I don't know. But after 150 swings, my body was in shambles.
Yep. He counted my swings. So recorded, I had 184 swings, and there's probably like 5 to 10-ish that he deleted because I hit him really bad and that would screw up the numbers, you know?
Tyler, you like usually shoot in the 90s, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I just played 36 holes.
Yeah. That's over two.
That's two full rounds, but it's not like riding in a cart, going to your ball, picking a club, hitting it. It's like boom, 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 switch the club out, redo the bounce and lie angle, boom, boom, boom. It's one after another, rapid fire.
It's kind of healing now, but I ripped all the skin off the top of my pinky just from swinging so many times.
Yeah, I mean, if they say golf's not a contact sport, it absolutely is. Like our bodies were in shambles when we were done.
Yeah, and all that being said and done, I still don't know what I'm getting. Because by the end of it, I could not.
Even I know what you're getting.
I couldn't hit a 3-wood or a hybrid to save my life. Because you have to hit it good for them to throw it in your bag. Mm-hmm. And I hit the irons really well. I hit the driver pretty well. The putter was amazing. But when it came to those in-between clubs between the drivers and the 4 or the 5 or whatever I ended up with, we couldn't decide what to do. So I literally told him after 184 swings, like, just surprise me. Throw whatever you want in there.
Yeah,
just throw a stock one in there. Yeah. It's fine.
Because I leave like a third of the way through yours. And you come back. I'm like, all right, what 14 clubs did you end up with? And he's like, you named off like the first 11. And then you're like, the other 3, I don't know. Yeah. I just told him to surprise me. I'm like, okay, well, what is he like? What are the options he can surprise you with? And you're like, I don't know.
I have no idea.
So
I know for sure I'm going to have 5 through pitching wedge, and then I'm going to go 52, 56, 60. So I'll have those and a driver and a putter. The rest up in the air.
Driving iron.
I don't know. If he wants to, I hit the irons way better than I did the hybrid, so maybe.
I know I have some recommended. Like, I've seen people get recommended if they can't hit hybrids, just go driving iron because it's like.
I mean, speaking of driving iron, I'll have one in my new bay.
Ryan got
you
one.
You got one?
Oh, fuck yeah, I got one.
It was cool.
Quick little what's in the bag for Tyler there. I went.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. We're 3 short. We don't know what else is coming, but it'll be a nice little surprise, hopefully end of this week. I went driving iron to replace a 3-wood. 3-wood is my current 3-wood's in shambles right now, kind of like my back after the fitting. So driver, driving iron, 19 degree hybrid.
Nice.
4 through gap wedge, which is a 50, and then 54, 58. And then putter. Funny thing about the putter, after 150 swings, I wanted to just leave. I wanted to just like go sit in my truck and like recline the seat, take a quick nap. But he's like, all right, well, we got to pick a putter. I'm like, okay, now this is...
This one's
and,
cool. Okay.
And for like, yep. like, I should take a little bit more pride in picking the putter because it's a very mm-hmm. important club. Mm-hmm. So I picked the one I liked the most. We went out to the putting green. I hit one like 15 foot putt and I'm like, okay, I'm sold. I'm done. I don't need to hit this putter anymore.
He was so confused. He like shut down the training area where they were doing the fitting and stuff. There's a garage door. They shut it so like you can keep it warm while Ryan does this putter fitting. He goes out there, makes one putt. He's like, all right, put it in the bag.
15 footer dead like, center.
Really?
I didn't need to see anything else. He's like, you want a different grip? Nope. This grip's fine. Actually, I'll just take this putter. He's like, I can't. It's like my fitting shaft. Mm-hmm. No, I want everything. Just give it to me now.
Did the same thing as Ryan. I just picked my favorite looking putter head. Made the first exact same putt as Ryan. And they're like, all right, are you done like Ryan? I'm like, I should take a few more.
You should have walked off.
Made five in a row and then walked off.
Should have walked off right away.
Yeah, it felt really cool. Lucas like, what the fuck?
Because now the confidence that we have in these new putters mm-hmm. is unbelievable.
Yeah, I was going to say the name of it, but that would have let the brand slip, which we're still holding back until we get the clubs.
No slipping yet.
No slipping.
And then, okay, so all the clubs are done, I think.
Hopefully.
And then he's like, okay, well, we got to pick a bag out. I'm like, oh, God damn it. All right, we got to pick a bag out. So we're looking on the site, and I'm like, so you guys got any slotted bags? like the 14 club slotted bags.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One individual hole for each club.
And when I asked that, the reaction that I got was my mind was blown from the reaction of you want a slotted bag? Look, I'm like, fuck yeah, I want a slotted bag.
We're both slotted bag guys. Like, they totally make mm-hmm. sense to us. We like them. It saves your fucking grips. And we mentioned slotted bags, and it was like we had mentioned the Holocaust today. Like, oh, I want a slotted bag. What?
It's like, well, if I'm jamming my clubs in my bag, if I hit a fucking bad shot and I'm jamming mm-hmm. that bitch back in there, then it's like my grips are getting all cracked and they're starting to fold back. And, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. But then I come to learn, like, a slotted bag is, like, you better be shooting in the 90s, 100s every round if you want to be rocking a slotted bag.
Which I am.
Which you are. So it's like,
make a slotted bag for me.
Can we get Tyler a fucking slotted bag?
Do they not make any?
No.
What?
No, not a single slotted bag. The most with this particular club brand that they mm-hmm. make is a five compartment bag.
What?
Which is fine because before six, we had the maybe. Slotted bag, mm-hmm. I had the other one. And, I mean, the grips did stay intact. But it's just, I'm kind of like an organization guy, and I like to have everything in line. I like to know exact, mm-hmm. no matter what way my bag is facing, I know exactly where.
Well, it's also, they get all fucking janked up in there, and then one club doesn't go in all the way, and you're trying to jam it in there, and you got to rearrange another club to get it down all the way.
Yeah.
Or it's sticking up like an antenna on an old car.
Well, and then it's like, you know, what slot does the putter go in? Does it go with the driver hybrid? Mm-hmm. Does it go with the irons? Does it go with the wedges? I don't know. Maybe it's like a distance thing. Like, this slot is for 150 and in. Mm-hmm. This slot mm-hmm. is for 150 to 220, and this slot is for the big clubs.
Yeah.
Or is it, do you put it with the head cover? So since it has a head cover, you put it with the driver and all the three wood.
Exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, because you made me a little nervous showing me that might be the bag that I picked, because I didn't pay attention, because there was two bags, or one bag that all three of us really liked. Ryan and Miles went before me. They both got it with the only two color options. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to get similar looking clubs in the exact same bag as one of them, because that is just easy grounds for mass confusion.
Yep. Go ahead.
So I got a different bag, barely looked at it. It was just the same bag as Lucas, except not camo. So I got the same bag as Lucas, didn't look at the slots, and Ryan just showed me a bag that only had two holes in it, just top and bottom slots. So I wonder if they don't make like an attachment for me to separate them.
No, I think Lucas is four.
Okay, good.
You could PVC pipe it though.
Yeah.
You could get some PVC.
I'll do that. I will do that.
You could PVC pipe it. I mean, you could... I mean, we could take some measurements. We can do like some plastic tubing mm-hmm. or some PVC tubing. Mm-hmm. We could find something to make it work.
Yeah.
Now, however, On the other side of the spectrum, the slotted bag versus like the four compartment, two compartment, five compartment, whatever it is. It's like, there's got to be a reason why they're doing that.
Yeah, I don't get the allure of the compartment bag. Trevor, what camp are you in?
I have a 14-way bag.
There we go.
It's just like you put your clubs in order, you know exactly where you're going to grab it, and then they're all just right there.
It's so satisfying too, to just, especially when all the clubs lean the same way and they just by number and they kind of get slightly longer as they go. I don't know. It's a little OCD, but I think that's sweet.
I'm with you.
It also like keeps your clubs from touching each other and banging against each other. Keeps them nice and clean.
You know what else will do that? Iron covers.
But okay,
no. Ain't no way in hell.
Okay,
no.
But, okay, you guys are taking the slotted bag route, which I'm on board with, but I'm going to take the other side for a second. I would disagree with what you just said, the clubs banging together, because the clubs are a little bit separated in the 14 slot, they're going to bang together because there's gaps in between. Now, if all the clubs are touching, there's no banging together because they're just...
Until you hit a bump in the hole.
Or they're scratching a little bit more than when they're touching each other, though.
These clubs ain't scratching. I mean, think about the amount of times you've like hitting the sand with little tiny pebbles that are showing themselves. Or you like golfing in Arizona. Some of the rough is gravel.
Yeah.
And yeah, these things ain't scratching. But it makes me think like if guys like Lucas and the guy who fitted us and the pros are not using slotted bags, like Tyler, we'll do anything we can outside of fixing our actual swings to make us look and play better at golf.
I just don't how it can't make us play better
mentally.
Look
though,
good,
maybe
play
it
good.
Could. I mean,
look good, play good.
Look good, play good. It's a good phrase because the bags are fucking sweet.
They are.
I might be the only person in the world that doesn't believe that.
I don't know. But
again, you guys have seen the way I've dressed on the course before.
That is true. That is true. You're a big time go against the norm type of guy.
My best round ever, I was wearing a bucket hat, t-shirt, and gym shorts.
Nothing wrong with that.
When was this?
It was at Prairiewood. I shot like...
Oh, sure.
That was the 38 I shot.
Yeah, okay.
It's acceptable there.
Yeah. But I would wear that anywhere if it was allowed.
It's also funny because when you say you shoot shot 38, it's not a par 36. It's a par 32.
Yeah. So six over. That's my record.
Right. But
it sounds way fucking cooler when I say 38.
It sounds way fucking cooler. Yeah. Hey, so
no one needs to know.
No. So if you got like a hidden course in town, like wherever you're at, if you got a par 32 somewhere and you're shooting under 40, like, I mean, no one needs to know what par is.
Yeah, shot 30 at El Zago. It's all good.
it's a par 27 course. Ah, three over, not bad though. Yeah. Not bad. I mean, I think it's just something that we're gonna have to get used to.
Yeah, I mean,
we had it for years
before we got the slotted bags, but we've been golfing forever, and we went from compartments to slots, and then all of a sudden we got a club deal, and we're like back to compartments.
But I mean, it's got to be meant. It's meant to be. It has to be.
Yeah, it's a sign from the universe that we should ruin our grips.
And one thing.
Also, we made a mistake with our clubs.
Why?
You didn't know what grips to get. You should have just got any other grips besides the ones I got. We're going to get confused. Our clubs, we're going to get them mixed up.
Did you get the regular grips they have or did you get Golf Pride grips?
Golf Pride.
No.
Did you get different colors?
No.
Yeah, the black and white ones.
So did I.
Oh my.
We're not. Well, you. So you're swinging more of a cavity back than I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll be double his size. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm swinging like like butter knives.
And you're, okay.
And you're swinging like wooden ladles.
Did you get a combo set?
Aren't we getting the same exact clubs? He told me we're getting the same clubs.
What's a combo set?
So like the 7 to like PH Showing Wedge or whatever we got are like
thinner. No.
And I would. Like 6-7 are like a little bit thicker.
No, everything's the same.
Oh.
Because for me, it depends on the day. It don't matter. The thickness of the club doesn't matter. It's just day by day for me.
I'm going to get a Sharpie and just write my name on every one of my clubs.
We're going to stamp them up. Yeah.
We were talking about this other. Can you stamp irons or just wedges?
I think you should be able to stamp. I don't know.
I'm going to get a smoking gun on my 60 because I'm dangerous.
You're
going to
blade it over the green?
No. Because every time I hit that thing, I'm going to be blowing it off.
Okay, so that, I mean, that's a good point. Is stamping your clubs a hard-o move?
If you have to pay for it, maybe. Okay. If you get it for free, then no.
Okay, well, I'm going to start that over. The money doesn't matter. Is stamping your clubs a hard-o move?
No.
It depends on what you get stamped on it.
I think so too. Like, for me to get your initials stamped on it, it's like, to me, it's kind of like the 18-year-old in high school, right? The guy who gets his last name, the wrestlers in particular that get their last name blasted across their
back. I know one of them is listening right now that did that. Cody, it's not a good look anymore. It was tight. I tell you what, when they did that, there were some upperclassmen that did that in Frazee, yeah, both wrestlers, and I thought it was the sickest fucking mm-hmm. thing ever. I'm in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Dad, can I get our last name tattooed on my back? And he's like, no.
And the other form of that is getting your initials on your triceps.
Oh my God.
To me, that is a hardo move. And I don't know if it's for like, if you're shit faced and you forget your last name, or like someone's like, you're getting questioned by the police and you're in the drunk tank and you got no idea what's going on. And you're like, dude, I don't know. My first name's Tyler, but just check my back because there's my last name.
Yeah, but they don't want to know your name. If you're that drunk, they don't know who you are.
No, if you're in the drunk tank,
your rights are gone, homie.
Or I mean, you can just show them your ID too.
You probably don't have it if you're that drunk, let's be real.
But I don't know. Initials, when it comes to stamped wedges, initials to me feel like that scenario.
Yeah, I would give it a little less.
I would too.
Embarrassing,
I would too. Yep.
But I would agree with you that that is a little bit of a hard-o move. I don't know. I think stamping wedges is cool. I really love watching mm-hmm. wedge stamping TikToks.
Oh, it's the best. It's almost like drywall TikTok or sheetrock TikTok, like any of that satisfying shit. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Like, I'm joking about the smoking gun. That would be a hard-o move.
Yeah. Just don't do like something cool like the 54, do shove it in the door, or like a 60 or 58, do like flop daddy, like stamp that on there.
Well, see, that's the thing too, is like, is it, what's the coolest thing when it comes to stamping wedges? Is it initials? Is it a logo of some sort or a design? Or is it a phrase like you just had said,
phrase.
Trevor? Dude, I think it's got to be your phone number. Think of how many people
credit card
leave.
Number.
That's actually not. Go ahead.
People think of how many people leave their wedges on the green, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could save you a $100 wedge.
Well, maybe that's why people are doing the initials thing too. It's like, if you, someone's not going to take it and put it in their bag if it's stamped with someone else's initials.
Well, it's a great way too. If you like, if you see a guy hitting a 58, hitting flop shots, and you're like, that looks exactly like my flop shot, I should check his club. You see your initials, like you can't argue with that.
You just put a piece of tape over it. There's no initials on this club.
Yeah. I think the phone number is a fantastic thing to get stamped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only problem is you got to pay for, what would that be, 10 digits?
Yeah. With the dashes in between too. Mm-hmm.
But if it's a $20 stamp job and it saves you $150 for having to buy a new wedge, I'm taking that deal every day of the week.
They stamp them at Sweet Shots. What does it cost per letter?
I think it's like $2 or $3, I want to say.
Oh, that ain't bad at all. I thought this shit was expensive.
It's not that expensive, actually.
No.
Sick.
It's kind of, I mean, it's just like putting like a little address and phone number card in your luggage. If your luggage, like the reason you do that is because if your luggage gets lost, someone can call you and return it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with a wedge. I think wedges are lost more often than luggage.
Oh,
100%. To be honest.
Yeah.
So phone number makes complete sense.
Yeah. And how many times have we like, I've never truly left a club at a course, but I've left clubs at holes before and I had to go back and get them. Or like the group behind me, like, hey, is this your 54? I'm like, yeah, that's mine.
It's the worst feeling on planet Earth.
Yeah.
I have yet to leave one. I'll be like walking back. I'll be like, oh shit, there's a club there. I'm like, oh yeah, that's mine.
Okay. So
the best hacks for not forgetting your club anywhere are, number one, if you are someone that pulls the pin, you pull the pin and you set your wedges across the pin. You know the pin has to go back in the hole, so someone will notice your club before they put the pin back in the hole. Number two way to do it is make sure that you leave it in between you and the cart.
Yep.
Like if you are on the opposite side, yeet that thing to the other side of the green so it's in between you and the cart, or walk over there and drop it.
Yep. That was going to be my number one.
Yeah.
But you can't leave it in the rough. You got to leave it on the green.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Third option for not forgetting your club anywhere, Tyler, is obviously you're bringing your putter and your head cover up to the green with you. Put your head cover right next to the wedge that you just hit.
Yep.
Because if you walk back to the cart without a head cover, it's just like, it's now ingrained in our head. Like, this club has a head cover. And if I don't have one, when I put it in the bag, there's something wrong. I should probably go get that.
Yep. It's easier to notice too. You just see your naked driver there or whatever head cover, your putter head covers.
Putter head cover. Yep. Yep. 100%.
Yep.
Do you put your head cover on every time you use it or when you get done with it?
I used to not, but now that I got a nicer driver last year, I do every time because it was getting banged up in like 2 weeks. I'm like, oh shit, maybe head covers do something.
Now, I mean, argument for iron and wedge covers.
Not forgetting your club at the hole.
You don't hit your driver in the fucking gravel. You hit your irons in the gravel. They're going to get fucked up regardless.
I know, but if you don't want to forget it and you have a wedge cover, it's the same with the putter cover. Like, it, you know, you maybe you get hot with the wedge on the green. You don't even need the putter.
Stop.
I'm kidding. Fuck iron covers and fuck anything that has to do with them. I'm out on it. So, Jake, you can cut that out, basically. We don't need to talk about it.
I would like to circle back just one quick. Why do people not like the slotted bag?
I haven't been able to figure that out yet. Because we've had both.
Yeah.
We've had minimal slots and we've had all the slots.
And I've so wholeheartedly prefer the 14 slots.
I can sit here and think all day about it.
Is it just because we look like old men?
I think you could maybe refer to it as like training wheels for a bike. Like, if you're 20 some years old and you play golf frequently, or let's say you're 20 some years old and you like to bike, but you're biking around with training wheels.
But how is it training wheels? It's just convenient. Training wheels aren't convenient. They make it easier.
I don't know. Because now I have the slotted bag. It's elite.
I just don't understand the hate.
I don't either.
And I feel like non-slotted, like your like hybrid 3-wood head covers can fall down.
Yeah.
They can fall down in the bottom of the bag. I mean, the things that are probably at the bottom of my golf bag.
You'd be probably surprised what's down there.
Be very surprised.
Maybe you got be like finding a five in your freshly washed jeans. You go down there, you got a whole bunch of gambling money.
That's what people should do. When you start, if you're gambling on the course, if you're playing $1, $2, $5 a hole, it should always be cash transaction. Every time you get that cash, plop it down in the bottom of your bag. Your bag is essentially just, it acts as a piggy bank.
Yeah.
For your golf game.
Yeah, and then the only way you can get your money is when you get a new bag, you have to cut it open.
It's the only way you can get it.
Yep.
And hopefully you got enough money underneath of there so you can buy yourself a new bag. The piggy bank aspect is actually awesome because that's money that you're going to forget you have. Now, if it's raining out and you don't have like rain covers for golf clubs. I used to have a rain cover.
Yeah, you used to
on my old bag. I used to use it all the time when I put them in the back of my truck, and I also got flamed for that.
Yeah.
So the slotted bag, rain cover. Apparently, I'm doing two things wrong here.
That's just unnecessary to me.
But then my clubs aren't. I have rhino lining in the back of my pickup. They're not like scratching up on the rhino lining.
Just put them in your back.
But I also said earlier that these clubs ain't gonna scratch, so I'm just going back on what I said earlier.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And Tyler, we're going to talk about the sweetest feelings in golf.
Mm-hmm. I will make a solemn vow to you right now that no matter how much a sponsor pays us, I will tell you the honest to God truth about their product. When Union Green sent us these koozies with a magnet on it, I didn't have very high hopes for it. I thought it was kind of a silly idea, but I have used it and I really, really like it.
I'll vouch, Tyler.
Yeah. Right away when I saw it, Jake, you know that I was like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah. Yep.
But I use it in the simulator. I never thought that the biggest place, most important place I'd be using it is the simulator. But if you think about it, how many times have you had a beer in your hand? You take a drink and then you walk to go get your shot. You're like, oh shit, what do I do with my beer? Well, there's metal everywhere in the simulator. Like, oh, I can just stick my beer to the pole here. I can just stick my beer to the bag over here. I can just stick my beer
to the poles in the bar.
Actually, Tyler, I saw you stick it to the metal shaft of your club and then just swing with your beer attached to your club. It was cool.
That part's not true, but the rest of it is. And I genuinely did not expect to actually really, really enjoy the magnet koozie. And I'm very excited to try it on the course because it's supposed to be for like when you can stick it to the brace, the pole in your cart. So like if you get up to hit a shot and you forgot your beer, you don't have to do the awkward fucking lean back into the cup holder to set it in there. You just stick it to the side. You hit your shot. You grab your beer. You get back in the cart.
We have three chairs sitting in front of us right now, mm-hmm. and each one has a cup holder. So we have one, two, three. We have four cup holders, and each one of them is filled with empty chip bags, empty fruit snack bags.
One of them has
nuts and bolts in it. Yeah, I don't know why.
Just a bunch of loose screws.
So yeah, you can set your beer in there, but it's going to tip to one side and probably spill out. So I've used one of these like years ago. Yep. I don't even remember where I got it from. And you want to talk about stability and strength of a magnet?
It is a strong ass magnet. I mean, sometimes actually maybe even a little too strong. If the beer is really full and you have to kind of pull the magnet, it spills just a tish.
Yeah. So,
but that's better than the beer falling off and spilling everywhere.
I would agree. True. I would agree. I don't know. And you know, I'm a big time magnet guy. I have a magnetic phone case, so I can stick my phone to damn near anything. I can stick my phone anywhere. I can stick that koozie.
Yes, you
can. I could put it 6 feet up in the air and make Tyler jump to get his beer.
Well, think about it when you're on the golf course, you forget to set your beer down. You bring it out with you. You have to set your beer onto the ground. Then you got to do the whole song and dance, setting it down, pulling it away a little bit, see if it's going to tip over. And if it does, you got to do like the little circle, like screw it into the ground almost. And then 9 times out of 10, you hit your shot, you watch your shot, you forget your goddamn beer on the ground.
Do you think that would, I don't know what flag sticks are made out of.
Me either.
Fiberglass?
I don't think metal though.
Damn it.
Try it out.
If it was able to magnetize you a flag stick, you could play a little putting game here. Say, hey, yeah? I'm this beer on the post or on the flag stick right here. If you miss this 5-footer, you have to shotgun that
beer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. Get
creative with it. But a magnet goes a long way on a koozie, guys. And Union Green has the koozies you need.
Yes. I'm a big fan of them.
Just checked again. Buy three, get one dozen free. T-Bird golf balls. Buy three dozen, get one free. Also, you can use promo code DoubleBogey20 at checkout for 20% off. We're not saying that these are made in a very high-end ball facility.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that. But
we're not saying that at all.
But they probably are. And for the price you can get them at, it's literally unmatched. You could lose every single one of these balls in this box.
Mm-hmm.
And you could buy another box, and it probably still wouldn't.
It is still cheaper than some brands' dozen.
Correct. And that's about all we have to say.
Yep. That's all we need to say.
The proof is in the pudding with the golf balls, with the koozies, and with the poor caddy, which we've talked about before. We're all about it. Mm-hmm. UnionGreenGolf.com.
DoubleBogey20.
DoubleBogey20. Go check them out. All right, Tyler.
All right, Ryan.
The sweetest things in golf. There's a lot of them. There's also a lot of sour things in golf, but we're not here to talk about the sour things.
Yeah, I'm going for more of like the feeling. What gives you the best feeling in golf? I got one right off the bat that every time it happens, I just feel amazing.
Like when you say you feel amazing, like
every emotion, all of the positive emotions at once. The best feeling in golf.
So you're basically saying you get...
I'm popping bees.
Bricked up over it.
Yes. Can I tell you what it is now?
Give it to me.
The best feeling in golf is when you're playing behind a slow-ass group for 9 holes. You get to the 9th hole and you see them turn off to the clubhouse. They're not playing the back 9.
Yes.
God, that is such a relief. You've been sitting at 9 tee boxes waiting for these dickheads to hurry up. And now they're gone, and you have 9 holes of bliss from here on out.
Well, that's a fantastic one, by the way. To add to that, if they do go play the 10th hole and they wait for you to tee off, smoking a drive when they let you play through.
Mm-hmm. That was actually, not kidding you, my second one is smoke, not necessarily even when they're playing through, but just crushing the ball in front of someone you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't happen often.
When
it
does, I'm going to send that baby right down the middle. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. It's partially when I like when I'm teeing off in front of a group that like they're letting me play through or whatever. I'm more so just like trying to hurry up, get out of that scenario so I can move on. And it tends to not work out in my favor a lot, but the slim chance it does, there can't be any better feeling.
Yeah.
No.
I would say for me, one of the best feelings in golf is the members bounce.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
You hit a shit shot, but the golf gods save your ass.
And that's just like, I think that all goes back to if you take care of the course will take care of you. If you keep paying your membership dues, if you keep fixing your pitch marks, if you keep fixing your divots on the green.
Don't say divots. You'll get castrated on the internet.
If you keep fixing your divots on the green, the course is going to pay you back. And that might be slicing a drive into the trees on the right. You get a beautiful kick back into the rough or even into the fairway. Even like if you snap hook one bad and it kicks straight out into the fairway, even though it's only, it might only went 150 yards, you're playing out of short grass.
Have you ever felt guilty about how good of a members bounce you've gotten?
Oh, 100%.
My first ever birdie, I hit one super far right. And then on my next shot, I hit a really shitty chip, but it bounced cart path, got me to the green and rolled within like 6 inches. And I'm like, I feel kind of guilty about this.
Cause that shouldn't have been like,
right.
How that started, it should not have been a birdie.
No.
But again, members bounce. The golf gods saved you.
Right. But then like, if I just get like a little members bounce, amazing feeling. But then like, if it's too good, I feel a little guilty sometimes. Yeah.
There's a bell curve of the best amount of member bounces.
Yeah.
Like if it stays in the rough, I'm feeling good about it. Yep. You know, like if it's still shitty, but you know, not like in a bunker or whatever, perfect.
But like if it hits a tree and goes 60 yards back into the middle of the fairway, I feel a tish guilty.
I do too. But hey, you probably have another 300 into the pin.
Yeah.
So it's like they punish you, like the shot punished you with that yardage into the pin, but at the same time, like I'm hitting out of short grass and I don't need to punch anywhere.
Yeah. I'm with you. There's just a line for me at a point where I'm like, oh man, that didn't happen because I'm lucky that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing like when you blade a chip, but it winds up pretty decent too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it might check up on the side of the green a little bit and roll right up next
to
it.
Or it hits the pin. Or blasting one like from the fringe or even on a putt and it hits the pin and only leaves you with maybe like 2 feet to go. My friends, that is why we leave the pin in.
Yeah. Well, there's one time where I absolutely bladed like an 8-iron from like 160 out or something. So it was like a foot off the ground the whole way. Gonna cruise right over the green, but hits the lip of the bunker, pops straight up and just lands on the green.
Beautiful. Again, you take care of the course will take care of you. What do you got, Trev?
Another one would probably be out driving all your buddies. That just smoking it past them.
Even if you didn't hit that great of a drive, they just hit all bad ones, it still feels good.
Yeah.
What's your go-to line when you're, when like, you see your buddy's ball and then you see another ball like 10 to 15 yards further. What's your go-to line for that?
How's the weather back there? Is my go-to?
That's a good one. God, is this my ball? No, my ball is actually 10 feet, 10 yards in front of you.
We do this all the time. It's like, hey, you're out.
Yep. And it's as simple as that. Like nothing needs to be said. You're out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jake, what are your, you haven't said anything.
Yeah. You guys are missing a great one is when you go to put your tee in the ground and you get past the first top layer of dirt and then just go smooth right in, right to the spot where you need
the tiny
to
little
be
crunchy feeling you get on there.
Yes, exactly.
You went with actual physical feeling.
Yeah, I did.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Nothing more satisfying than that. And then especially when it glides right to a stop right at your preferred tee height and you don't have to bend over anymore and fuck with it.
It's also really sweet when you hit a shot off the tee box, the tee flies straight up, straight down, and then sticks right back into the. This probably only happened 2 or 3 times. But when I look down, I'm like, that's not where I put my tee. Oh, it's because I probably just hit a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
Tee straight up, straight down into the ground.
This one might be a little obscure, but I think it's an incredible feeling when you hit your shot. You know where it went, but you're not 100% sure. and your buddy is like, no, no, you went over there and you were right. Your buddy was wrong. He guessed the wrong spot. And I'm like, no, man, I'm pretty sure I'm like 50 yards over here. You go over there, there's your ball, and your buddy's over there looking for your ball in a different spot. And he's like, yeah, dude, you were fucking wrong. I was fucking right. It was my ball. I hit it over there. Suck it.
Tyler, that also brings me to the point of like, just like knowing where your ball is. Like if you hit it into the next fairway or into some heavy trees or something like that, and you come rolling up over that hill and there's your ball sitting right there, you don't have to look for it. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, that is the best too.
Go ahead. Yeah,
paired with the worst feeling. Your ball should be right there. Oh, and it's not. Oh,
it's not where I was going. I was going, another worst feeling is when someone's teeing off on that other fairway and you are in between whether, should I go hit real quick? Should I wait? Pace of play slowing down. My buddies are on the green already and I'm like still 200 out. Like, what do you do there?
Yeah, the song and dance.
I couldn't be a bigger proponent of playing other fairways.
No, it's better than playing in between them.
Like, if you got trouble on your left, like, let the hands fly. Play over into the other fairway. Get some loft on the club and you're dancing at that point. I would say, God, I had one at the, one of the best feelings in golf is driving a par four.
I've only done it once.
And that's why it's one of the best feelings, because it doesn't happen often. I feel like when you roll up to a drivable par four, like let's just say 270 to 300, immediately it gets in your head. Like, okay, well, I have to hit a good shot here because I could be on the green. And 9 times out of 10, it does not work out in your favor. But when you like make contact with the ball, you see the initial flight and you see where it's headed, and it's headed right towards the green. There's no better feeling on planet Earth.
Yeah, because
then you have an eagle putt.
Yeah,
and we don't have eagle putts.
Does it count as driving the green if you drive over it?
I would say no.
So then I've never driven the green, because the one eagle I have, I drove, it hit the green, but it rolled off and then I chipped in.
Yep.
Yeah. I think on the scorecard, it doesn't count, but in your heart, going over the green,
I hit it further than the green. That's way cooler.
Yeah, you still got a green in regulation though, because you went out. Yeah. You hold out.
Yeah. Cool.
Hell yeah. Sweet. What else you got, Trev?
Having a really good cart girl and then just bombing a drive in front of her.
I mean, that's the biggest layup of a sweetest feeling. Mm-hmm. That's almost like flushing an iron.
I don't know that feeling. So
I told these jabronis before this segment started that if anyone says flushing an iron, I'm going to leave the podcast.
I mean, you should have known me better.
Yeah, I know because it's just the most low hanging best feeling in golf.
So
yeah, but.
Okay, just walk me through that scenario. What's going through your head?
Yeah, what's your pickup line with you? We know you're doing really terrible flirting with these BevCart girls.
That's a lie. I actually got one BevCart girl's number.
Was it a real number? Did you check?
Yeah.
And how'd you get it?
So, story time. I was with it was for my brother-in-law's bachelor party.
Hell yeah.
So we were at this little cabin. It was like the course, or the house was like on the course we were staying at. And then we were like an 8 group, so we were just playing around. And then we started talking, and one of the guys was like, you know, he thinks you're kind of cute, and then you should get her snap. So I got her snap.
That's the thing to do these days, right? Is to get their snap.
Kids, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's like not forward, but kind of forward at the same time.
I miss the old days when people would write each other letters.
Shut up.
Jesus Christ.
But got her snap, and then she did come over and hang out that night with all of us. And then she also brought us to a street dance that night. So.
Oh, you've told me this. She was like your personal Uber the whole weekend.
It was pretty fun.
So were you in it for the Uber, or were you in it for the relationship?
Were you in love?
I was not in love.
Mm.
Can't be in love at first sight. Come
did you
on.
Get it? Did you give love a chance?
No. I got really drunk that night and I didn't even try.
That's usually when I give love the most chance.
It's fair.
For some folks, love doesn't really work all that well.
Yeah. Some of us are still single, Tyler.
So do you ever see Snapper every once in a while still?
No.
So Snapper right now.
She has a boyfriend. So
tell her you're on a golf podcast now.
Did she have
a
Snapper?
Did she have a boyfriend at the time?
She did. Dude, okay, most cart girls have boyfriends.
Why you say that?
No, most cart girls say they have boyfriends to get creeps to leave them alone.
That's true.
She drove us to a street dance. She literally went to our place by herself and then drove all of us to a street dance.
Yeah, that's ballsy of her.
especially with your boyfriend.
Honestly, yeah. Trevor, like, no offense, you're not very scary.
I'm not.
So I guess it makes a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the boyfriend's like, who's this top friend on your Snap these days? Trevor.
Shh.
Anyway, congrats, Trevor.
Thank you.
Me and Tyler, we're at zeros.
Mm-hmm. Zero BevCart Girls numbers. Forever will be.
You're at one, so you win that one.
My sister was a BevCart girl once. I have her number.
You do have her number. Yep, that is true. So
okay, Alabama.
I can text her.
Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, text the BevCart girl.
Okay, last one that I got. I'm gonna. This is a physical feeling. I'm gonna set the scene for you. Tyler loves when I do this. One of the best feelings in golf.
Shut your eyes, everybody.
Shut your eyes, please.
Yeah, take a deep breath.
It is 7 a.m. on a mid-June summer morning. There's dew on the fairways. There's dew on the greens. The greenskeeper is right in front of you, getting everything freshly mowed. You're standing at the tee box with three of your best buddies, driver in hand. 350-yard par four, wide open links course. Beers are already flowing, 7 a.m., and you're about to play one of the best rounds of the entire summer.
And you shank it off the first tee.
And you're playing out of the other fairway. It doesn't even matter. Midsummer mornings, dew on the ground, could not be a better feeling.
Yeah,
first tee time of the day could not be a better feeling.
Yeah, instead of the marshals watching you, the greenskeeper's watching you, your buddies are watching you, and you got this euphoric feeling, and then you fucking suck off the first tee.
It don't matter. Also, another great feeling in golf is when you par or better on the first
tee. Yeah, that's true. Especially if you didn't hit the range.
Correct.
You're loose. Like, on the first drive, your back cracks like six times.
That's, well, it's even better because
that's the warm-up.
The looser I get, the worse I play.
See,
I overswing. I try and swing too hard.
There's no sweet spot for me with alcohol. There is a sweet spot of looseness for me.
Pause.
Yeah, I mean, like right away on the first tee, if I didn't hit the range, I'm a little too tight. And then probably about like hole six, I'm the perfect level of loose. And then I'm too loose at like about hole 15. You feel me?
No, I'm not feeling you.
No, not
loose.
What do you mean? Any part of you.
Yeah, I'm just sometimes real tight. And sometimes just, I'm too loose.
Yeah, you don't want to be too loose.
No.
Yeah. You don't want to be too tight. So
how can you, like, is there like an exercise to just tighten back up when you're too loose?
I don't know.
Nothing? Okay.
I got nothing
this is
for you.
Tyler, this is a Kegel.
It is, Jake. It is a Kegel joke.
Thanks.
All right. Anyone got any more?
No, let's get out of here.
Sweetest feelings in golf. We'll be there. Give us about a month or two and we'll be there. We'll be feeling sweet. And that was episode 124 for you guys. I did that one for Tyler. I didn't go Kobe. I went episode 124. It's in the books today. If you haven't yet, cancel your plans for tonight. Go watch Full Swing. We'll review it next week on the podcast. We also have a big time guest coming up. So be ready for that. We got the
Eye on the story for Q&A.
We got
for
the
that guest.
Yeah, it's going to be big time.
Yep.
We got an equipment sponsor that we haven't yet released yet. So the boys are making some moves and it's all thanks to you guys. Send it to the golf group chat. Tell them to go listen to the pod.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you all.
They pipe that the wrong f***ing way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.